Hey guys, good morning. Y'all doing all right? Hey, let's give just Kirby and Josh a sign of our appreciation this morning. I mean, it's hard enough to get in here and sing at 6:30 in the morning. It's a whole different thing to get up there and sing in front of you, all of you guys. And so that takes some courage, and I just appreciate those guys leading us in live worship. And just enhances our atmosphere and gets our hearts ready for what God wants to do with us this morning. So I'm excited to be here to share with you guys. I'm going to continue on in a series that I've been doing kind of over time, once a month, over the past few months, and called the Faithful Disciple or Disciples that Grow. We've been talking about becoming men who are full of the Holy Spirit, who are full of what God has, and who are discipled into becoming the men that God has called us to be. You know, the acronym stands for FAT, right? And FAT's kind of a bad term today, so, you know, maybe we ought to be FIT or something like that. Anyway, acronyms don't really matter, right? The deal is we're learning, we're growing, we're becoming strong in the Lord. So the first week that we did this, we talked about the faithful disciple, and we said this, that faithful disciples are full of faith, right? That we as men who are full of faith are consistent, we do what we say we're going to do, and we apply the Word of God to our life. The second one of those was the available disciple, and available disciples make room for God, and we talked about how as men who are committed to following the Lord, that if we don't make time for the things that God calls us to, we miss out on the destiny that God has called us to. And so making ourselves available to be used by God, it prepares us, it equips us, it puts us in the position to where we can accomplish the thing that God's put us on the earth to do. And today, we're going to be talking about the teachable disciple. And this is our big idea, that successful disciples listen. And not just listen, but follow instructions. And so we're going to dive into that a little bit. We're going to look at a story. You can turn in your Bibles, if you've got them this morning, over to Numbers chapter 22. And the scriptures are not going to be up on the screen because we're basically going to cover a big chunk of that whole chapter this morning as we look at the story of Balaam. And I don't know if you're familiar with the story of Balaam, but we're going to get familiar with it here in a little bit and dive into that. So if you've got your Bibles, whether it's a paper one or a digital one, feel free to turn over to Numbers and get yourself ready for that. You know, most of you guys know that years ago, me and my wife lived overseas, and we lived in Kenya, a country in East Africa, and we had a lot of adventures while we were there. I would dare say that every day I woke up and I didn't know what was going to happen to me, right? In a third world country, a developing country, you just never know if the lights are going to come on, if you're going to have electricity that day, if, you know, the water's actually going to work when you turn the spigot in the morning, and it was always an adventure. There was always lots of fun, exciting things to do. And so I thought I'd share a couple of stories with you guys because we had a lot of interesting stories, and they're kind of fun to share sometime. So one of the things that Jill liked to do while we were there is gather up women from different churches and kind of do these little women's day kind of things, you know. And so she liked to have women from different churches that would kind of come together, and they would do a ladies' day and have a teaching and, you know, share a meal or something today, something like that. And so she said, hey, I had this idea that why don't you drive us? We'll go out to this little church outside of our town, and we'll pick up these women, and then we'll drive over to one of these other churches, and we'll get them together, and they can fellowship, and you can be the bus driver. And I said, okay, cool. I like that. You know, and you have to recognize that in Kenya, 90% of our driving there was off pavement. There was one paved road in our whole district that we lived in, which was way bigger than a county. I mean, the whole area there was one paved road, and it went to the big city. And so we didn't work in the big city. We worked out in the bush, in the rural areas, and so we were on dirt roads. And when I mean dirt roads, they didn't have the county commissioner that came by with the road grader and smoothed those roads out all the time. They were bumpy roads. In fact, we graded roads based on whether they're first gear roads, second gear, third gear, or fourth gear, because we had stick shifts. They were all stick shifts, and if you could get past second gear on that road, that was a pretty good road. But not all roads were like that. Sometimes we didn't get out of second gear and because they were rough. And so I was always looking for alternative routes to get where I wanted to go and trying to find shortcuts and trying to find the most efficient, quickest way to get there. And so we loaded up and we went out in the truck and stopped at this little church outside of our town. And the deal was, is that church was over here. If our town was here, it was over here. And the church that we were going was back there. And so the road that I normally took to get to the church back there went this way. But we had to go this way to stop and get these women first. And so we got over there, and I had this bright idea that I think there's a road that goes from this church over here to that church over there, and we could take that shortcut and not have to come all the way back to town and then all the way back down this other road. This is a great idea, right? Save a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of effort. So we trucked down that road. It wasn't a road that I went on very often because there wasn't really a need to, you know, make that trek. And so the road was pretty rough when we got on it. And my truck was such that I had eight women in the back of the truck. Not, it wasn't a pickup. It was like a kind of like a Blazer or something like that. It was a two-door enclosed, and they had these seats down the sides. So there's eight ladies in the back. And Kenyan ladies are way smaller than people here, so you know, we were tight and we were bumping down the road, and so they were already uncomfortable, you know, because they're just back there just, you know, doing this. And we get to a river crossing, and I kind of come over the edge, and I go, ooh, there's water down there. I have no idea how deep that water is, but you know, by George, I drive a Land Cruiser, right? That's what I have four-wheel drive for, right? Like, this is my moment. This is what I've been waiting for, right? Yeah, the testosterone kicked in a little bit. By golly, we're not turning around, right? We're going to go through that water, and we're going to make it to the other side, and we're going to get these ladies to this church on time. And so we went down there, and I started going down the hill, and I started realizing the closer I got, that water is flowing pretty fast. That water's looking a lot deeper, but by then I'm already committed, right? So I better just punch it. So I punch it, and we hit the water, and the water comes up over the hood. And I go, I'm in trouble. So I punch it harder, right? And we hit the bottom of that river, and then the bottom, the water had cut out this channel, like this ditch. And we hit rock bottom and went, bam! And then the truck jumped up out of the water. And all of those ladies went flying up there and hit their heads on the ceiling and come slamming down. And I'm pretty sure that I learned some new vocabulary that day in their language. And man, they were not happy with me as we plowed through the water and come up the other side and got out of there. And I had pretty much ruined their day. But we got to that church and we used the shortcut. And by George, we made it, right? And there was another time, right? That wasn't the only time I tried a shortcut. I didn't learn my lesson real well that time. I was by myself this time. I thought, well, I'm not going to hurt anybody this time, you know. And I wanted to find another direct route because this church I needed to go to was about a 2.5-hour drive on a dirt road. And I was tired of making that long road, and I had found a map. This was before you had GPS, right, on our deals. And I found this map, and there was another road that went to where I wanted to go. And I was like, why haven't I ever used that road? And so I went out, and I found the road, and I thought, man, I'm driving along, and this thing is smooth. It is a smooth road. I'm going, this is awesome. Like, why am I not used this road? I've been here a couple of years, and I hadn't found this, and I'm driving along, and I start thinking about it. It's probably smooth because nobody drives on it. And if nobody drives on it, there's probably a reason, right? And so sure enough, I get like an hour down this road, and we get to this little creek crossing there, and it's washed out real bad, and it's just rough and rutted, but by golly, I drive a Land Cruiser, right? And so I power my way through that thing and come up. I was like, dude, I am home free. That's why nobody drives on this road, because they don't drive a cool truck like I do, right? And they can't get through here. So I punch it. I drive another hour down the road, and I'm going, this is getting me close. And I come over the crest, and there's another little river valley down there, and I screech to a stop at the edge, and there is a 30-foot drop from the road to the bottom of the creek bed down there, and the bridge has been washed out. And by golly, I drive a Land Cruiser, but 30 foot is a little bit much to dive off into, right? And so I have to admit defeat, and I have to turn around, and I have to drive all the way back, 2 hours down the road, all the way back home, and then go all the way back around the other way. And I realized that, man, I was really late for my appointment that day. And I thought I had a great idea. I thought I had a shortcut, but it didn't work out so good for me. And then, isn't that how life works? You know, for a lot of us, we find ourselves in similar situations. We find ourselves that we have a great idea. We think we found a shortcut, or we think we found a way around an obstacle. And we find out that when we don't listen to the instructions that we've been given, or we don't heed advice, or we don't use, common sense, right, that we find ourselves in these situations where we suffer for it. And sometimes we've got a load of people with us, and they have to suffer for our stupidity or our ignorance or our macho-ness that's going to prove I can do this, right? And so we dive off into things and make choices that get us into hot water, and eventually we find we get to the end of our rope sometimes, and we find that we have stretched ourselves so thin that we are missing what we thought the good life ought to look like. And I hear this complaint a lot of times from guys that say, man, life is not turning out how I thought it was supposed to turn out. It's not working how I thought it should work. And so I want to ask a question this morning. We're going to dive into the story of Balaam. But this is my question. Have you ever considered that you might not be listening to God? So we're going to dive into the story of Balaam in Numbers chapter 22, because Balaam was a guy that had a hard time listening to what the Lord might say to him. I'm not going to read all the story to you, but let me just kind of catch you up with where we're at and paraphrase this a little bit before we dive in. So Numbers chapter 22, you see the Israelites are coming back from Egypt. And they've gone into, they're taking some of the promised land that God had called them. And one of the kings in the land that they were going to freaked out. He's like, these people are so numerous. They're like ox that are just eating the grass as they go. And these people are coming. I see the horde of them coming, and I don't think I can defeat them. And so he heard about this guy named Balaam that was a holy man. And he had heard that Balaam had the ability to speak curses on people, and those curses would come to pass. And so he decided, he got this bright idea, if my army can't defeat the Israelites and can't overcome them, I'm going to go hire this guy Balaam to speak a curse over them, and maybe that will keep them from invading my land. And so we look at the story there, and the king Balak, well, don't get those names confused, it's Balak and Balaam. I don't know why they couldn't be different names, but anyway, the king, we'll call him the king. The king sent his messengers to Balaam and said, Balaam, I want to pay you some money. I want you to come and I want you to meet those people, you know, out there on the border and basically pray a curse over them so that they won't come in and take my land. And Balaam said, when these guys showed up, he was a wise guy. I mean, he knew kind of how to handle this. And so he said this in verse 8. He says, stay here overnight, Balaam said, and in the morning I will tell you whatever the Lord directs me to say. And so the officials from Moab stayed there with Balaam. And so Balaam goes and he prays to God, and he's a wise guy, right? God, what should I do? Do I need to go with these men and curse these people? Or do I need, you know, and he sought out direction from the Lord. And so basically, he prayed that night, and in verse 12, God told Balaam, do not go with them. You are not to curse these people, for they have been blessed. And so the Lord tells Balaam, hey, these are my people. Don't mess with them. Don't go with them. And so he wakes up the next morning, tells the guys, hey, guys, sorry, I sought the Lord. I can't go with you. He didn't give me permission to bless them. Thanks for the offer, but go on home. I can't help you out. And so the guys return home to the king. The king's pretty disappointed in his response and said, you know what, maybe I didn't send the right guys to convince Balaam to help me out. And so he sent another group of men that were stronger and more powerful in his government. And these officials came and they asked Balaam again, Balaam, hey, the king needs you to come and pray over these people and curse them so that they can be defeated. right? And so Balaam says, look, guys, I already told you the Lord won't allow me to do that. And but, you know, since you're here and you traveled all this way, I'm going to go pray to God and I'm going to see maybe if he's changed his mind, right? And I'm going to ask him what we should do. And so we pick the story up there in verse 18 and says, he says this, Balaam responded to the king's messengers. He said, even if the king were to give me his palace filled with silver and gold, I would be powerless to do anything against the will of the Lord my God. And so the guys had come back with a better offer, more money, more attractive offer for Balaam. And he says, look, guys, God told me I can't do it, so I can't do it. But he said, stay here one more night, and I will see if the Lord has anything else to say to me. And guys, here's where we get in trouble. Because we're confident in our life situations that we heard from God, that we got a message from God. But we see the circumstances around us or the people that we're engaging with come to us with another offer, so to speak. And we start seeing, man, these circumstances aren't quite working out like I thought they were. Or these people are saying, man, you know, you misunderstood what you were being offered. I think we've got a better offer for you. And so we start getting enticed into this and we begin to question God. God, did you really tell me to do this or that? Or is that really what you said? Or maybe like Balaam, I don't know if he got scared there or if he just got tempted. Man, the offer got better. That's a lot of money. I think God might change his mind and want me to be blessed, right? So I ought to ask again. I know what God said to me, but I think I might want to ask him again and see maybe if he's changed his mind. And we look at Balaam and we think, man, what a dumb guy, right? I do that all the time with Bible characters. It's easy to see from this side of the story, right, that they were ignorant and foolish. But I get in the same boat, right? I knew that God had called me to come and work in Plainview, Texas. And I got a job offer to Colorado one time. And I said, wow, God, I'd really like to live in Colorado. I like mountains. You know, I think I might ought to move up there. What do you say about that? No, I told you to be here. Okay, I'll stay here. They call me again. Hey, you know, if it won't work out in Colorado, we'd really like you to go over to Florida and open an office for us there. You can live on the beach. You can live wherever you want to. God, I really like the beach. It's a lot cooler than Plainview, Texas. You know, I like that kind of sand, not this kind of sand. I'd like to go there. Or maybe we said this, God, I know that you told me to marry this woman, but she's mean. And my secretary is real attractive, and she likes to serve me. And, right, I deserve to be happy, right? Or maybe we ask this, God, I know you told me to love my wife and to consider her needs before mine, but, man, she's frigid. And looking at porn is just a lot easier. Don't I deserve to get some relief in life, right? Or maybe this, God, I know you told me to give a tithe, to give 10% of my income before anything else, but man, I bought a bunch of stuff, and I really need to get out of debt. And if I got out of debt, couldn't I then have more opportunity to serve you? Doesn't that make me a better steward of the resources that you gave me? And so we ask these questions, and we second guess what God's told us to do. And we find ourselves in the same situation as Balaam. And so I want to pick up the story again in verse 20. Because verse 20, honestly, guys, is one of the scariest things I've read in the Bible in a while. Because God, in this scripture, actually responded to Balaam's insecurity. And he actually answered him and let him follow his own path. It says this, that night God came to Balaam and told him, since these men have come for you, get up and go with them. But do only what I tell you to do. It almost sounds like God changed his mind. And Balaam, looking at the situation, goes, oh, well, I got permission. I can go now. So this paycheck that's waiting for me when I get to the king, man, that's a good deal, right? And so we find ourselves in the same situation when we go back and ask God again, God, are you sure about that? Did you really mean that? And it's almost like we hear God saying and giving us permission, fine, Tom, go ahead. Go sleep with your secretary. Fine, Frank. Go ahead and have a look at your phone. It'll be, you know. Fine, George. Go ahead and spend the next years of your life paying off your credit card. And guys, that reality ought to put a little bit of fear in us, if I'm honest. Right? Because let's continue on in the story and check out what happened next there. It says this in verse 21 and 22. So the next morning, Balaam got up, saddled his donkey, and started off with the Moabite officials. Listen to this. But God was angry that Balaam was going. And so he sent the angel of the Lord to stand in the road to block his way. Wait a minute. In the very verse 20 right there, it says God told him to go. But now it's saying God's mad at him for going? He just thought he was following God's instructions. He thought he was doing what he had permission to do. And so without a warning of the consequences, we see that God opposes Balaam on this trip that he wanted to take. And God even sent reinforcements along the way. And so if you keep reading the story there, this is where the funny part happens when the donkey that Balaam's riding starts talking to him. Because the donkey sees what God is up to. He sees the angel of death basically there in front of him blocking the way. And he tries to save Balaam's life. He tries to run off the course. He tries to get out of the way of the sword of that angel that's blocking the path. And Balaam is so distracted by getting what he wanted and going on this journey that he ignores. Guys, he missed the fact that his donkey was talking to him. Did you pick that up in the story? The donkey is talking to him, and he is so bent on getting on down the road that he's totally missed it, that the donkey is talking to him. I mean, you would think that would get your attention, right? It didn't seem to faze him at all. He just kept going and he beat the donkey, you know. He didn't even notice. And so my question to you this morning is this. What have you been questioning God about? And he's allowed you to have your own way, and now you're suffering for it. You thought God told you to do one thing, but it was basically you telling God that I want to do it my way. And so what we find here is one of the most difficult truths that I've encountered in my walk with God. It's called a teachable moment. A time when I'm at the end of me and God gets a hold of me and asks, would you like to listen now? Would you like to pay attention? Would you like to hear what I have to say? Would you like to learn from me? And so we read on down through the story, this whole encounter that Balaam has with the angel and the donkey and all of that. In verse 31, it says this, then God opened Balaam's eyes and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the roadway with a drawn sword in his hand. And Balaam bowed his head and fell face down on the ground before him. So years ago, I was sitting in my office. I was on the computer early one morning, as was my custom. And to be honest, it was my custom to look at porn. I'd wake up early, I'd go out to my office, I would turn on the computer, and I would believe the lie that God had given me a wife, but I wasn't satisfied with it, and this was a legitimate way to meet my needs. And so I'm sitting there clicking through, looking at stuff on the screen, and I hear this voice behind me, literal voice, say, what are you doing? And it was the voice of God to me. And oddly enough, it sounded a whole lot like my wife. Because when I turned around, it was my wife. Ouch. Yeah. And so I found myself in a teachable moment. I found myself in a situation where I believed God had given me permission to take care of my needs in an illegitimate way, and found out real quick that he had sent an angel of light to block my path and turn me around. Because you see, I'd been blaming everybody else around me for my issues. I had been blaming, just like Balaam blamed the donkey, right, for being obstinate on the path and not wanting to take him where he wanted to go. I'd been blaming other people, not getting me where I wanted to go. But God was kind enough to me to send an angel to block my way as I stubbornly resisted what he was doing. And I want you guys to be real clear here. I am not making a comparison of my wife to the donkey in the story. I'm comparing her to the angel in the story. Just to be real clear, I want y'all to get that point. And she was almost like an angel with a sword. And I had a choice in that moment, right? I had a choice to repent or to continue to suffer. And so this pivotal moment in my life was a turning point for me because of this truth that we're talking about today, that successful disciples listen and follow instructions. And the Lord gave me an opportunity to turn my life around, just like he did Balaam. And so here's what Balaam and I both chose to do in this situation. And here's what I want you to go away with today. Two things real quick. Be teachable. Guys, when you're confronted with an opportunity in your life, a teachable moment, be teachable. Allow yourself to listen to what you're being told. Humble yourself to accept someone's advice, even when that advice doesn't seem logical. God sent a message to Balaam, but he was so self-focused that he refused to listen. God had sent me several men along my journey to open my eyes to this sin that I was choosing to engage in. I ignored all of them. And so you've got to listen and act on that. And so repentance was not enough for Balaam or for me. I couldn't just say I'm sorry, but I actually had to change. God sent Balaam to finish what he started. If you keep going in the story there, God didn't say, okay, I got your attention, I changed your mind, you bowed down, you repented, and said, man, please don't kill me. But that wasn't enough. God said, you wanted to go on and see the king, go on and see the king. Finish what you chose to do, because when you get there, my guess is when you tell him no, like I told you to tell him no, your head might get lopped off. But Balaam, you wanted to go talk to the king and pursue this. Go on and finish what you started, right? And so Balaam had to go on and press through that and go on and face the music, so to speak. And I had to take action on getting free from my sin habits as well, right? It took a huge amount of humility, of time, of money, of effort to restore the relationship with my wife that I had destroyed by what I was doing. And so I want to challenge you this morning to recognize God's goodness to you when he reveals to you the ways that you are opposing him. And when he shows you through another person that he sent to be a blessing to you, choose to embrace God's goodness to you and be teachable. Change your mind. Learn from that situation. The second thing is this: be offense-proof. Because you see, it was pretty easy for Balaam not to get offended, I think, with the big angel of God with a sword, right? It's pretty easy to bow down to that and say, okay, I submit. You know, he cried uncle pretty fast. But the reality is that God uses flesh and blood men like us a lot of times in our teachable moments. The teachable moments come through another person, right? So another time, a few years ago, I was leading a meeting at work, and one of my friends was sitting in that meeting, and he pulled me aside afterwards, and he goes, Gabe, man, that meeting was like the dullest, most uninspiring, flat message meeting I've ever been a part of. Right? That kind of hurts your feelings when you thought you did your best. And he offered his advice on how I could improve my skills at leading a meeting. And I had a choice in that moment, right? To be hurt, to be offended, to go, man, lay off, dude. I know what I'm doing, right? That's what I try to do. I know what I'm doing. If I didn't think I was doing the best job I could do in the moment, I wouldn't be doing it. Why are you criticizing me? Why are you holding me back? Why are you blaming me here? But instead, I made a choice. Rather than being offended, rather than saying, dude, you hurt my feelings, I'm not going to engage with you, I'm going to separate my friendship, I'm going to leave, I'm going to bail. or spiral into this, you know, self-defeat and going, golly, I guess I can't run a meeting. I guess, man, I suck. I can't do this. God's called me. I thought God called me to be a leader, but apparently I'm no good at it. And I could have spiraled into that place of missing out on what God had for me had I chosen to listen to the opposition rather than the love that was coming through the confrontation. Thankfully, I chose to center myself in that and try to hear what God was saying to me and take some advice that was well needed. I mean, it was deserved. I needed to improve what I was doing. And thankfully, I've been able to press through that. And today, me and that guy are great friends. We're great friends. And I appreciate that he loved me enough to confront me when I needed to improve. And it's made me a better man for it. And so we have a choice, right? We have a choice to allow our offense or our hurt to separate us from the people that God sends to get our attention to press in or accept what he is offering. Because what he's offering time and time again, guys, is redemption, restoration, a commission towards life. God wants for you to succeed. And he's going to send people to help you succeed. And your choice in those teachable moments is whether you're going to receive that blessing from God or whether you're going to reject it because of the form that it came in. And so my encouragement to you today is don't let the enemy take you out. Because he's going to lie to you in those moments. He's going to say that you're unloved, that you're unaccepted, that you're unable to overcome. He uses those lies as a wedge to drive wedges into our relationships with the people that love us the most. And we choose to run away, or we choose to run and hide. We choose to reject those people who are actually have our back and want the best for us. Because you see, God wanted the best for Balaam in that situation, in that story. He wanted him to obey. He wanted to keep him out of harm's way by sending him to that people and that king. And who knows what would have happened there. God wants for you to walk in his ways and to enjoy the blessings that he has for you. And so you have a choice this morning. Are you going to remain stubborn? Because a lot of us do. Try to figure it out your own way, or will you listen to wise counsel and have a teachable spirit? Will you allow an offense, whether it's with God or with another person, to keep you in a cycle of pain and disappointment with life? Or will you allow Jesus to restore you and appoint you to carry his message to other people? Successful disciples listen and follow direction. This morning we have an opportunity right now at your tables. Guys, you have men who are on your side, who are for you. And I want to ask you to take a few minutes this morning. Don't run out of here if you don't have to get to work. Take a few minutes and think about, what are you facing? What ways have you heard God speak to you clearly about where you need to be in life, but you have chosen to ignore that and chase after something, and God's let you run that way for a while, and you're suffering for it? Because God wants you to be restored. He wants you to find peace. He wants you to find that reconciliation. He wants you to not live in a life of chaos, but to live in a life of blessing, of abundance, of peace. Grabbing a hold of what he has for you. So I'm going to throw a couple of questions up there on the screen. I'm going to pray for you, but I encourage you, engage with this a little bit. Engage with the story of Balaam and choose this morning to be a teachable disciple who experiences life as a result. God, I thank you for the men who are here today. I thank you for the calling that you have on their life. I thank you, God, that you have equipped every single one of these men to be ministers of the gospel. God, that you've called them into their work, into their families, into their school, wherever they find themselves today. God, you have got them in an environment where you have assignments for them. And God, all of us, all of us along the way have chosen to listen to lies. We've chosen to follow our own hearts and go our own way. And God, we've met opposition along the way. And God, I pray this morning that as these men think about the opposition that they're finding today, God, that they would see that sometimes that opposition is a gift from you, an offer to be reconciled to you, an offer to change their path, an offer to go a different direction and walk in the blessing and the anointing and the calling that you have for them. And this morning, God, I pray that their hearts would be open to receive that angel of opposition. Whether it looks like their wife, whether it looks like another man in this room, whether it looks like a boss at their work, whatever face that angel is wearing today, God, I pray that they would receive the message that you love them, that you would like for them to do things your ways rather than their ways, and that, God, they could be like Balaam and get down on his knees and repent and say, God, I'm sorry, I missed it, but I see now clearly what you want me to do. Help me be reconciled to you and walk in your paths and your ways. God, help all of us this morning as you send us these men and women in our lives that challenge us to follow you with our whole hearts. God, we want to receive those challenges with open arms. We want to bless and not curse. God, we want to forgive and not hold grudges. God, we want to receive your best for us, and we do that in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.